From WXXI News, this is Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. Our connection this hour was made on June 26th when Rochester and the Finger Lakes region entered Phase 4 of the reopening process. That phase included arts and entertainment venues like zoos, museums, art galleries, and more. But only, quote, low-risk venues. So amusement parks, casinos, movie theaters, indoor performing arts productions, malls, and gyms were not on the list. Some of that has changed since then. For instance, malls reopened last Friday, but in late June, Greater Rochester Chamber of Commerce President and CEO Bob Duffy said, quote, Phase 4 could last 2 months, it could last 3 months. There won't be a Phase 5, so it's going to be a gradation of certain activities just based on some of the research and feedback that the state is getting, end quote. Well, now, nearly 3 weeks later, business owners in Phase 4 who have not gotten the green light are still searching for answers, or they say at least more clarity on some of the state's guidelines. We've heard from a number of business owners who say they are waiting patiently for more directions while watching other Phase 4 businesses open, sometimes without permission. They say they have concerns about the future of their businesses and their livelihood, and they are occasionally frustrated with the lack of direction from the state. So this hour, we're joined by three local business owners who discuss how the pandemic has affected their businesses and how the uncertainty regarding reopening could impact them moving forward. I'd like to welcome our guests now. Imani O'Lear is the founder of Yoga for a Good Hood. Imani, welcome back to the program.
Thank you so much. Glad to be here.
Hello to Nicole Devier, who is the founder of Yoga. Let's do it, Nicole. You're going to tell me how to pronounce community wellness. Drishti?
I am. Hello. Thank you for having me. It's Yoga Drishti, community wellness, and we often just call it Drishti.
Drishti. Okay. Yoga Drishti, yep, community Drishti. Wellness, but you're going to hear a shorthand as Drishti. Drishti, and did I do the last name, Devier?
You did. You got it perfect.
We got it. All right. Danielle Ramos is the owner of the Rochester Brainery, who's back with us. Danielle, welcome to you as well.
Thank you for having me on today.
I'd like to ask all three of you to give us a sense for what you're going through. And I think for our listeners this hour, this is a really important conversation because the economy is built on small businesses. And right now there's still a lot of uncertainty. So just because you were a Phase 4 business, now that we're in Phase 4, doesn't mean that you can do what you did before. It doesn't even mean that you can do anything. And there's still a lot of uncertainty. And for those of us who want to support small business, we want to see the economy hang in as best it can during a pandemic. It's not easy. This conversation, I think, is vital to understanding the challenge and what supports might be necessary. Imani, why don't you start? What's the status of Yoga for a Good Hood?
Well, it's actually, Evan, we have Yoga for a Good Hood, but we also have our for-profit studio, True Yoga Studio in the South Wedge. And both of them are still closed for in-person classes. We have added in, because of guidelines, outdoor classes, but that's only on a limited basis. It's because for us, it's about finding space outdoors that we can utilize during the time. So currently, online classes are normal, but for both Yoga for a Good Hood and True, but we are doing some park activities and working with the city of Rochester, particularly for Yoga for a Good Hood, because recreation centers are able to open, right? And so how we can loop Yoga for a Good Hood into some of that safely.
I've heard from some listeners who say, you know, I drove by this studio and they're open indoors and it doesn't look like they're supposed to be, but they are. Are you hearing that too?
Yes, I am. I actually asked Duffy's office at the Chamber of Commerce about that in particular for one studio. But that has happened and it's been happening for over a month now.
What do you do with that, Imani?
You know, I struggle with it, to be perfectly honest, because for Yoga for a Good Hood, the struggle that we have is that because we serve lower income communities, you have connectivity issues because some people can't get online. So that's a different challenge. So I can't even be in person for them yet. So I can't open, even though we may be able to have a large enough space to do that. So I struggle with that from an ethics standpoint because, once again, the community, particularly persons of color and persons of low-income areas, are disenfranchised once again because of internet access. For True Yoga, where I find is that now that I can do something in the park just for 9 a.m. classes, not the others, I'm like, people are like flocking in like, oh my goodness, thank you so much. Right? So it's two different issues because of two different organizations. So, yeah. I'm trying to like bite my tongue a little bit. Can you tell that, Evan?
Well, I said, because we didn't invite you on to bite your tongue, Imani, but you know.
Well, because I'm also trying to, like, I understand that all of us as businesses are struggling and trying to stay open and we have rent to pay. But at the same time, what that ends up doing is putting a bad kind of look on what the yoga community is about. And one of the principles is ahimsa, which means doing no harm. And when you open up without the proper guidelines, you are doing harm not only to the industry, but to the community.
Yeah, I think that's fair. And you know, Imani, I joked that we didn't invite you on to bite your tongue. I'm not asking you to sort of out any businesses that are open without permission. But I will say that I have a lot of empathy for business owners who are scared and hurting and struggling, who are saying, you know, maybe I'll just open anyway and see what happens.
Yeah.
What's the worst that can do? We'll be open for a while and then they'll come in and they'll try to shut me down. I want to empathize with the economic pain and the fear and the uncertainty that people have. However, if we have a patchwork of businesses that are not following the rules and the guidelines versus businesses that are following, then those that are following get unfairly hit. And it makes it difficult to sort of appeal as an industry. For example, we could see bars closed down at some point. That's one thing that we continue to hear Dr. Fauci and others talk about. It's a big problem. Well, if bars shut down, let's just say if 50 states tell their bars, you got to close your indoor service until the pandemic is over, then Congress has to figure out what to do with that. And if you've got half the bars not following the rules, then you may not have a united voice telling Congress, we need help. We need, you know, assistance here. So there's a lot of impacts to not following the rules, even though I have empathy for those who are hurting. Does that make sense, Imani?
It does make sense. And I also understand that as a business owner for True, like, we have lost several memberships because people want to be in person, right? We are so grateful for those that have stuck with us through this online learning curve that we've had to adopt. So I get it. Like my gut every morning, I'm waking up like, okay, please let us have like still this number of memberships. I get it because we still have to pay rent. We still have to pay our employees because we have not let one employee go during this pandemic.
Wow. Okay. Well, I mean, I guess I want to hear all of your stories. This is tough. These are tough times as we talk about what's going on in phase four for businesses that still have a lot of limitations. And Nicole Deviere, who is with Yoga Drishti Community Wellness, what's the status for you?
The status is very much similar to what Imani was saying. The schedule has stayed the same from the beginning. I had been doing virtual classes with Drishti before all this happened for some morning slots and some evening slots. We had done that. So luckily I had a setup and on the website already a description. So when this started coming about, we started offering that as well. So the class sizes started dwindling down with in-person and virtual. And then we closed on March 13th and have not opened again for in-person classes. I'm still all virtual. Now, the unique part about Drishti is I'm also a massage therapist, so that opened in phase three. So I do have people that come upstairs, and I also share space upstairs. I'm with Sonam Tarji of Ancient Universal Medicine, and so he has people coming upstairs. You know, we have people wearing masks and no one in the waiting room, but it just feels odd to be open for massage, but not be able to limit in person for yoga. So it's different, but we're adjusting massage since we opened. Just because we're open as well, people need to understand it doesn't mean that people are flocking into our businesses. Maybe restaurants and bars are experiencing that more, but depending upon people's beliefs, and everyone is entitled to what they're feeling during this, you know, not everyone wants to be touched with a massage at this time either. So whether open or not, I'm still struggling and relying on the yoga. I've also kept Drishti very diversified. So I had some corporate accounts, and some of those have ended because of the in-person. Some I'm still taping classes for, but again, that was something I came to presenting with to these businesses. Hey, I can tape a class. So yeah, I guess you just got to be proactive, but it's a matter of how long will this last? How long are people still going to support me virtually?
And you've had some issues with PPP as well?
Yes, the PPP, I guess my issue is I'm not a person with a TV. I don't wake up and watch TV. I try not to stay in too much of the mainstream news. But since this happened, I'm finding myself having to obviously look at government regulations. And, you know, from the day it happened, Drishti is like a child to me. So it was like, how can I keep this alive? So I was on programs, and PPP was one of them. And when I reached out to my lender, at first they didn't even know what I was talking about. Had no idea. And then 2 weeks later, they knew and reached back out to me. I did get a PPP loan, but then they sent me the forgiveness paperwork. And luckily, I did not fill that out. I asked what the time constraints were, and then they said, oh, yeah, yeah, don't fill that out yet, because if you do, you're going to owe, but if you wait, you won't. So another thing about the PPP loans, our businesses have shut down. Some of us may have received those, but imagine having to pay those back, and maybe even with interest. It's something you have to think about.
Well, let's turn to Daniel Ramo at the Rochester Brainery. Now, the Brainery is a location that offers classes of all different kinds. How many different classes do you do in a non-pandemic year, Daniel?
That's a really great question. The easiest way to answer it is that we offer somewhere between 65 and 80 classes a month.
Wow.
And some months there are classes that are repeated. So, for example, brush calligraphy is a class that we have once a month, sometimes twice because of its popularity. So hundreds of classes, I can safely say. So we offer quite a bit. We are now offering online classes. We are very lucky that we were able to make the switch to online classes early and had quite a bit of support in the beginning. So the last week of March, I believe, was our first online class. You know, as the weather has gotten nicer and people can get outside and everything, there's been a little bit less. You know, I don't know other people's experience, but a little bit less push for online classes, but we're certainly still doing those. And then actually today we are offering our very first outdoor class, which will be a nice small class of six people, all socially distanced and masked and all of that. So we'll be beginning some outdoor workshops as well, but certainly a small fraction of what we were doing before in classes. And the other big part of our business, the way that we actually support and run our classes, is through our space rental. So we've always relied on our space rental to offset the cost of our classes. We don't really have that. And we did a lot of business meetings and team building workshops and bridal showers and baby showers and birthday parties, many of which have been canceled or postponed. You know, we've tried to do some virtual things with businesses, which, you know, we are, you know, working on, but certainly doing a lot less than we were, in mid-March.
How long is that sustainable for you?
It's really difficult, and it's really difficult to say. I almost feel different about it every single day. So, you know, for me, I did get that PPP loan early on, which was incredibly helpful. And unfortunately, that did run out. You know, we got that early on. We were very lucky to get that early on. But that ran out towards the end of June, I want to say about three quarters of the way through June or so. It did allow me to keep a couple of my team members on. My team is absolutely amazing. If any of them are listening, I cannot thank them enough. But unfortunately, you know, the team is on furlough. So it's myself and my lovely husband adding classes to the website and helping me out right now. You know, but we're just trying to keep it going kind of as best we can for as long as we can until things kind of turn around, which, you know, it's anybody's guess, right? So we're all just kind of trying to do the best that we can in the meantime.
Well, and I think Danielle mentioned, you know, not owning the space. I don't know if all three of the business represented, if you happen to own the space you're in. Danielle, you do not own the space you're in. Is that correct? At the Rochester Brewery?
I don't. I do rent the space, right.
Okay. Nicole, do you own the space?
I rent.
You rent, and Imani?
We also rent both places.
Okay, so let me ask all three of you. I mean, I can't tell you how many small business owners and, frankly, just people who live in Western New York in the last month who have sent us notes saying, this is going to be a bigger story than people realize. As we go throughout the year, we're going to have mortgage and rent issues, and we're going to have a bottleneck that explodes maybe in the fall, because I'm hearing businesses say, look, I got a break early on. I was told you don't have to pay rent, or you only have to pay 25% or 50%. And those breaks are ending. So, Imani, what's the status with you? How are you doing with that?
For True, we have been paying our full amount of rent. And the interesting thing is, in October 2019, we moved from a 1,200-square-foot space to a 5,000-square-foot space. So rent went up quite considerably.
Yeah.
And so, you know, we've used our PPP to help with that and also our cost of staff. But now that's done for us. And with declined membership, it's difficult to try to think of how are we going to pay this full amount of rent, keep staff, which we are looking at, you know, cutting some of our classes due to this, which also affects our members, like it, and also affects our teachers. Like, it's a ongoing cycle. We are fortunate that for Yoga for a Good Hood, we don't have to do that because I'm also the pastor there. So, like, I can kind of, like, go, okay, we're not paying rent because we're not there. But that then also affects their bottom line because they were expecting that money as well.
Nicole, what's the status with you?
The status with me is, yeah, we're still paying rent. But luckily, I stated before, I'm upstairs with a business, but also we're located at with the Natural Oasis restaurant and retailer. Tell them on their own the building. So we are like a community, and it really emphasizes in a time like this why community is really, really important, because we can support one another. And I can say the support that I've received from Drishti is wonderful. I do Drishti all by myself. The class sizes, I mean, we can only fit 14 people in the yoga space. So even with limitations, it's going to be down to like four people. Yeah, so we are just paying the rent and just trying to survive like everyone else.
But are you able to pay less rent? Is there any break, temporary or not, going on?
Well, like I said, being more in part of a community over there, it's easier to talk, you know, and work things out. And I will say, in the beginning, there was a lot of support, even in terms of like bigger corporations, you know, like car payments and student loans and things like that. But that is all ending now too. So
yep.
It's things that we have to think about, you know, and I'm a single income household. I do everything myself. So I also have rent that I pay in full, you know, where I live as well. So everyone's got a different story, but everyone is very much affected by this. And I will say the Drishti community really stepped up and has helped. The class sizes doubled in the very beginning and have started to go back to to normal now, as some people's life has kind of returned to normal as they see things opening, but it's not the same for us.
Yeah. Danielle Ramo, what's the status with rent with you?
Yeah, for us, we were able for a couple of months to defer 50% payment, which was very helpful, you know, and then August, everything will be going back to normal and we'll start paying back that deferment. So that's kind of our rent situation right now as well, you know, which is, you know, difficult on a space that we're not able to utilize in the way that we were. I think something that's, you know, kind of important to remember is that reopening doesn't mean fully open for most businesses. Yeah. It's a small portion. And so I think a lot of people, you know, kind of get excited. They're like, great, you're reopened. This is great. But it's, you know, for us, 20% maybe of what we were able to do before, less than that. So it's definitely difficult. And then we're working to figure that out.
Deferment is the term you use. So is a 50% deferment in rent? Is that the right term?
Yeah, it's kind of like we paid 50% for a few months, and then we'll be paying back the 50% that we weren't paying during that time over the course of time.
So soon you'll be paying 150% or more.
We'll be paying a little bit more. Yep.
Okay. Yeah. And yet your business is bringing in 20% roughly of the typical revenue.
Yes. And I think that that is not, I don't think that that's not, that's a unique story. I think that a lot of businesses are kind of, you know, going through that right now. Everyone is, you know, a lot of people are having that kind of difficulty. So I think it's something that, that sometimes a lot of people don't maybe think about when they're thinking about a business, right? They're thinking about their services and things like that. But anyway, that's something that I know is on the minds of a lot of business owners.
There's no question that that is true, that what you're going through is very much common. We're seeing it across industries. Revenue is obviously down, and yet the rent is about to go back to what it was, along with an expectation of paying deferred rent payments from the last 3 to 4 months. I don't know how businesses across the country are going to do that. And I'm not necessarily blaming the property owners. I don't know them. I mean, I don't know the circumstances, and they have mortgages to pay, and it's a hard spot, I'm sure. But I don't see how this is sustainable. And tomorrow on this program, we'll have Congressman Joe Morelli, and I will ask him if he sees it that way, because there are far smarter people than me who've been analyzing these problems, that's for sure. I just don't know how we're going to get through this, that particular part of it. And that there are a lot of people in this position. We're talking to small business owners from the Rochester Brainery, Yoga Drishti Community Wellness, True Yoga Studio, Yoga for a Good Hood. And we're understanding the challenges they face and what they're hoping that the community can do, but also what they're maybe asking government to explain. And after our only break of the hour, we're going to talk about what they might say if they had a chance to interview Congressman Joe Morelli tomorrow. The congressman is going to be generous with his time and be back with us tomorrow as we talk about relief during the coronavirus pandemic. We're also going to talk to them about questions they might have for New York State, because the state has certainly some hands on the controls of reopening. So these are businesses that are doing their best to hang in during a pandemic. They represent a cross-section of really thousands of businesses across the country. And I hope, listeners, that that you're listening to these stories, because these folks are doing such great work for the community, and they're hurting in some ways, and they're doing their best to make it through and see the other side of this. We'll continue in just a moment on Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. Wednesday on the next Connections, we welcome Congressman Joe Morelli to the program. He's joining us to give us an update on how Congress views relief efforts for the coronavirus as businesses struggle and a growing list of Americans face trouble with rent and mortgage payments. What is Congress's role going forward? Congressman Joe Morelli, Wednesday on Connections. This is Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. Welcome back to the program. And listeners, if you have thoughts to share, you can email the program, connections@wxxi.org. Connections@wxxi.org. You can call the program toll-free, 844-295-TALK, 844-295-8255. It's 263-WXXI if you're in Rochester, 263-9994. This is part of an ongoing series of conversations with small business and small business owners to understand the challenge they face in the pandemic. These are really the faces of our community and the backbone of our economy, and we want to understand what they're going through. So, Imani O'Lear, if you're talking to the congressman tomorrow, on the federal level, Congress has tried to do some things, PPP, some other things. What would your message be to Congressman Morelli or other federal leaders, Imani?
We're not a gym. I mean, that's the first thing that comes to mind.
We're not a gym? Yeah.
We're not a gym. I mean, that's a different experience of shared equipment. I mean, our persons come in with their own mat. We're no longer utilizing, you know, props in that type of way. They have to bring all of the things of their own. There's limited capacity. I mean, so for me, that is also a wellness, a mental health wellness, because people have been in this shutdown. They have their stressors. Like, how can we take care of the American people by allowing them wellness opportunities to see each other, to be in shared space? It's just amazing when I see us at the park doing community class, the difference of people that drudge in. And I mean that, like, literally you can see them drudging in. And the difference, more than the yoga, of being in community. And that's so incredibly important. And like, as you hear the support of community, of how important that is. So I guess mine is, like, even looking at Ohio, they have reopened gyms and yoga facilities and things of that nature. I don't really understand why that's not an opportunity. And we're also hurting those who want to work. We're also deepening a divide. Like, when a person that can't work as a teacher for yoga for a good, for the yoga studio, one hour throws them off of getting unemployment for that one day. They're only making whatever, $35 to $55 for that one time. So it's just like drudging the economy down as well.
Nicole Deviere, what would you say to Congressman Morelli?
I would want more streamlined information. I had taught yoga outside from the beginning, and I have not done so because it requires a permit, and they didn't start issuing them until last Monday. I just got back on it again today, and it takes 21 days possibly for it to be issued, and with the heat of the summer, you know, so, and no one comes out and tells you those things, you know, and you look around, you see other people doing things, and other people see people doing things, and they come to you as a small business owner and say, how come you're not offering this? And sometimes it's because I just don't know, because on the newyork.gov site, there's not that much information. And, you know, I might be learning with you. So there needs to be more streamlined information for businesses. But also, California just recently closed everything again. So we have to be prepared for how will I be supported? You know, at the end of the day, we're all trying to survive. So I'm okay with being closed, but how will I be supported? Because I can still reach people online, you know, for the yoga, but how will I make it through this?
Danielle Rama, what would you say to the congressman?
Well, I don't want to take up the rest of the time on this program, but for me, there's so many different components of my business, and I do go back and forth with it because I am one of the people, I think, during this pandemic that is on, like, the ultra safe side, ultra. And so for me, I just want to make sure that whatever I am doing to be able to reopen is the safest thing that I could possibly be doing. And there are expensive costs involved in that. So for example, you know, I'm looking into having, like, a new air filtration system and, you know, that HEPA filter, which that part isn't that expensive. But, you know, when all is said and done, these things cost money. And you know, that's very expensive. So I think for me, it's, you know, if we are going to be asking businesses to reopen and reopen safely, it would be helpful, I think, to have some kind of support in being able to, you know, maybe apply for grants or funding or something like that to kind of help business owners who are really hard hit during this time and don't have those funds to be able to reopen in a safe way. I think another round of PPP, I know for me, would be incredibly helpful. In terms of just the reopening side of things and clarification in terms of events, I know that there's a lot of different guidelines out there. I have emailed back and forth with Empire State Development to ask who knows how many questions to get clarification on classes and events, and they've been very responsive in helping answering my questions. But I'm sure that they would love if I would stop bugging them and that these guidelines were just, you know, in on a document that I could, you know, kind of have for something that is specifically for weddings. And then kind of the last thing that I'll say is in terms of our classes, you know, I know that outdoor is allowed and that's great that we're able to reintroduce that. Virtual is allowed. We'll continue doing that. In terms of in-person though, you know, there are some other things that if you were to say compare an hour-long indoor class with 10 people to 10 people in a restaurant sitting down and having dinner for, you know, an hour with their masks off and even in class with masks on. It just seems like when you compare one to the other, it would just be nice to have a little bit more of an explanation as to why one would be allowed but not the other. So yes. Those are kind of my points.
Fair. I agree.
I think all three business owners offered the kinds of questions that maybe get directed to Congressman Morelli, but also maybe state leaders who have a little bit more of the control over what individual industries can open and when. As you heard Imani O'Lear say, you know, yoga is not a gym. You know, so understanding why certain categories include some businesses but not others has been a challenge. And, you know, Danielle, when you say we're quote-unquote reopened but not fully reopened, what do you think the public, especially the non-business-owning public, and I'm not saying this sort of demean anybody, I'm not in your shoes. I'm not in Imani's shoes. I'm not in Nicole's shoes. It's very, very difficult, you know, in terms of margins in regular years for small businesses, let alone during a pandemic. I'll ask all three of you, and I'll start with Danielle at the Brainery. What do you think the public maybe doesn't quite understand about the challenge that you're being faced with here?
Well, I think that everyone is just as confused as small business owners are in some ways. And so, you know, not only are small business owners confused, but individuals are confused about what businesses can do. So there might just be some, I don't know if it's misunderstanding or miscommunication about like how businesses can operate or what we can do right now that might kind of give a false sense of we're doing better than we are. So like, I suppose, for example, then this is on me, someone had said like, your Instagram looks all so like so happy and like you're doing so well. And I wanted to be like, well, yeah, but I'm not necessarily putting that out there and perhaps I should. But I do think that people want to help and I do think that people want to understand. And I think it's just a matter of like getting the message out there about what our experience is, which is why there's programs like this. And it's great that we're on and we're able to share it.
I'm so glad you said this, though, but because listeners, especially when you think about small businesses that may be struggling, don't just think because Instagram looks great that they're great. You know,
yeah.
And that goes for people personally, too. How many times over the years have we learned this lesson? People project. But businesses are in a tough spot because what are you supposed to do at the Brainery on your Instagram? Project doom and gloom all day? Show an empty room?
You want to be a positive experience for people, too. So you want to post this photo from this class that truly was awesome. But then the other 8 hours of the day has been maybe spent just on websites trying to figure out, okay, what do I do about this? And who do I speak to about this? And why won't this person call me back? So there's a lot of that as well.
Yeah, I think that's really, really wise. Reopening doesn't mean reopen like before. It doesn't mean business is where it was before. It doesn't mean times are good or easy. And Instagram doesn't always tell the full story. That's important.
Yeah.
And that's not doom and gloom. That's just reality. That is the reality facing businesses. Nicole, what about you? What do you think the public maybe doesn't fully understand?
that reopening for each business is different, and each business owner has specific ideas of what's going on. And ultimately wants everyone to be safe, you know, and is doing the best that they can. And yeah, I think people don't understand maybe the lack of information that we're getting, the lack of guidance. And like Danielle was saying, we're confused too. We're just as confused as you are. And we're trying. And I think the support that they're giving goes farther than they realize. And if people can't support in ways of coming in and spending money, they can always share a positive experience they've had. So I think, again, it just goes to the community and understanding the importance of small business and community.
Okay, Imani?
That we're navigating a very uncertain future, right? We're working with levels of preparedness, response, and control plans, right, to make sure that not only is our staff safe, but the community as they walk in. And so we want to put all of these plans in place, but underneath, like, there's also this fear, right, of fines if you don't do it correctly, right? Like, and so for me, I'm hyper vigilant. Like, as soon as I could buy one of those radar thermometer thingies, no touch, I did. Like, and so there's cost to make sure that we're safe. And I don't think that people really understand that. And there's cost of energy. It is more energy to teach yoga online. I mean, we teach about 30 classes online a week. That is such an energy. And that's additional cost that we're accruing. So I think there's both of those things are happening that I don't think that the public really understands what's happening behind the curtain, as they say at The Wizard of Oz.
Well, as we continue this series of conversations with our guests, this time three women who own small businesses here in the Rochester area: Imani O'Lear, True Yoga Studio and founder of Yoga for a Good Hood; Nicole Devier is the founder of Yoga Drishti Community Wellness; Danielle Ramo is the owner of the Rochester Brainery. We're hearing from other small business owners who want to know, is it maybe time to get together here? Here's a small business owner who was on the program last week, Evie Fanning, who owns Cheshire and Solera, a couple of a wine bar and a cocktail bar in Rochester. She says, maybe it's time for small businesses to get creative about forming a network to support one another. Just as an example, how could Solera support the Brainery? I would love to contribute with the resources I have at my disposal. Let me ask all three of you, and she invoked the Brainery. So, Danielle Ramo, I'll start with you. She's asking, how can, you know, a wine bar support the Brainery? Or how can small businesses, can we network together? Is there a way to do that? Do you see an opening for that in any way, Danielle?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, my entire business was founded on connecting the community and having businesses work together. So I welcome as many partnerships as possible. Like, just as an example, I chatted with a small business owner yesterday. I'm doing curbside pickup for retail at my space on Thursday. And I said, drop off your stuff. Have people pick up curbside at my space. So I am so open to partnerships, whether it's me helping out someone, you know, an equal partnership in some way, or, you know, if it's more of like, hey, the Brainery, would you mind doing this for me, or why not? Whatever it is, I am so open to it. I think there's a lot of ways that we can help each other. It could be by getting together and, you know, saying, hey, this is a group of 30 businesses and we're all looking for guidelines on this, or, you know, I'm not sure, but, you know, I'm so open to businesses supporting each other right now. It's, you know, we all have a better understanding of what each other is going through, and any way that we can support each other, I think, is only going to make us stronger.
Okay. Imani, what do you think?
Absolutely. I mean, my middle name may be collaboration. and so I always look for ways to do that, to share a vision and space and time with one another. I think this idea that a three-strand cord is not easily broken, I know that's scripture. I'm mixing my life here in those things, but that's true, right? Like, you know, I could see, because I know Evie, and she is a love of mine and right down the street from True, that our space is larger. What if there was tastings in our space? Because
there could be more socially distant place here at the studio. So I absolutely welcome collaborations and even collaborations with other yoga studios. I do think that there could be something very unique about yoga studios coming together. A dear friend of mine, Jessie, had to close Yoga Vibe because she couldn't afford it. And it just breaks my heart. Like, so then how can we stop competing in this yoga community and find ways that we can be with one another?
Nicole?
Yes. I think businesses getting together, you know, aside from what business you own. I know there's two of us that have, you know, yoga studios here today, and then Danielle with a very different business. But there's a lot of businesses out there, a lot of different businesses, a lot of small businesses, and we all have in common that we are a small business. So if we could, you know, get together and just ask, you know, can we get some clear guidelines and clear information so that we can feel supported? I know there's a small business association, which, you know, I hadn't heard much of until now, but is there some sort of networking support system for regardless of what area we're coming from that just kind of supports the small business aspect?
The concern, I guess, I have, because I was going to ask you, and maybe I will. I mean, maybe our listeners want to know, what do small businesses need? I mean, they need your support. You know, they need your patronage, your money. You know, that's what they need. But I think it's a fair question to ask. And at the same time, I'm concerned that when I ask, well, what do you need from the public? It implies that there might be some kind of miraculous cure to the challenge facing small businesses. And I guess in the spirit of the writer Anand Giridharadas, who has written a lot about philanthropy, he says philanthropy is great for a limited set of recipients, but it doesn't cure structural problems. In the same way that sort of a surge of help for one or two small businesses would be great, but we have a structural problem. And I can't help but thinking that in the end, we still have a problem that Congress is going to have to solve. More than the state, I mean, the state has to decide who can open when, and I understand that can be confusing and that's important. But Congress has to decide who gets the dollar support. They've got more flexibility during a pandemic that none of the people on our program caused. These are not small businesses' mistakes that they caused. So, Imani O'Lear, I'll ask you, you know, what do you need from the public? But do you understand my concern that even asking that question implies that, well, you know, if we just all go out and buy gift cards, everything will be fine, when maybe that's not enough. Does that make sense?
Oh, but it'll help.
So do it anyway.
I mean, real talk. I mean, you know, buy somebody yoga or something at the Brainery. Go to the, you know, Oasis to eat a good meal. Like, yes, all of those things are important. In regards to, you know, I am hoping that the community, when we do reopen, what we need is just continue to support us and be patient with us. And even now, that's important. You know, Zooms fail. you know, I may not update the website in time. Rain happens. Like, patience, because I know for me, I'm terrified. And so there is a level of fear for me, right? This was an investment for us. And I guess patience, but also just support through this whole thing in regards to financially and other ways. Yeah, that's all. Yeah.
Nicole, what do you think?
What do we need from the community?
Yeah.
What do I need from the community?
Yeah.
I need the community. I want the community to care about community, to care about your neighbor, because when you start caring about humanity and when you start caring about others, this stuff isn't forced. It comes natural to lend a helping hand. You know what to do. You don't really have to ask. It's innate in you. So I want people to care about each other, care about who lives next door to you, care about the businesses that support who we are.
Danielle Ramo.
Yeah, I mean, I completely agree with what's already been said. You know, every little bit helps. while on the flip side, I completely understand that that is not possible for everybody right now. I mean, I know that I'm not sending a lot myself. So I, you know, for me, I understand, and I, you know, and whatever people can do in terms of whether it's just saying like, hey, my friend is teaching this class, or this looks cool, or, oh, if anyone's, yeah, I don't know, birthday present idea, I don't know. But, you know, just any throwing anything out there, leaving a review, anything like that is super helpful. And it is that community supporting each other, you know, in like the smallest way, but, you know, by just sharing something or leaving a review, it's a little easy thing to do. But just, you know, think about what you can do, you know, for your community and what works for you at that time and with your resources, and every little bit helps. But I do think that this is something that we don't know how long this is going to last for, and it probably needs a larger solution than maybe our neighbors can offer in the long term.
Yeah, and, you know, what faces the Rochester Brainery, what faces True Yoga and Yoga for a Good Hood and Yoga Drishti, community wellness, and so many small businesses is, you know, not all that unlike what faces journalism at public radio. And it's one of the reasons we turn to the community a few times a year and ask for support, because we know that somewhere in our community of listeners, maybe just as in somewhere in the community of true yoga clients, or someone who's been going to the Rochester Brainery for years, somewhere in that group might be somebody who can write the kind of check that can make sure that you can keep doing what you're doing. And it's hard to ask. It's not fun to be in that position. Yeah. It's really, really difficult to turn to the community and say that. I've gotten pretty good at it over the years because I believe in it so much. And I know that without it, if it doesn't happen, then we don't do this anymore. And that's really tough. It's tough to think of a world without public radio or the Rochester Brainery or, you know, True Yoga and Drishti and so many others. That's very, very difficult. But it is one of the points I'm going to make tomorrow in the conversation with Congressman Morelli. It's that, you know, businesses are about to be in that spot of going to their community saying, if you can write the check to keep us going, we can do this. If not, we may close, without government kind of coming back in. And so let me just ask all three of our guests before we go about something nobody wants to think about. But I remember when Kevin McGowan on this program said the last thing we want is to move into reopening and then see a surge in cases and then you reclose a second time. Because Kevin said there's a lot of businesses that would not survive that because there's so much fatigue. Everybody's fatigued in so many different ways from this pandemic. We are fatigued with kids learning at home, so we're ready to send them back to school no matter what. I'm not criticizing sending them back, by the way. I'm just saying we're fatigued with home learning. We're fatigued with Zoom calls. We are fatigued. You know, Congress is fatigued with creating care, you know, the packages of relief. And everybody's fatigued. But if we go to a point where we close again, are we going to find a way to get these businesses back? That scares me. Imani, what happens if there's another full-on closure? What are you concerned about there?
I'm concerned with how we will, in some ways, maintain. You know, particularly, I'm even more concerned with our community for Yoga for Good Hood as well, right? That they've been out there affected by COVID differently, because it affects Black and brown bodies very much differently than it has in other community settings. And so that scares me, that they don't have a safe place to go to. And for the True Yoga Studio, I do believe that we can come back around, but it will be so difficult to turn that car in the midst of a windstorm. And so I'm really hoping that that doesn't happen. And so that's why we're putting all the safety precautions in place.
Hmm. Nicole Devier, what are your big concerns with a society that recloses again? What happens then?
Well, for Drishti, we're not even open again. So yeah. I'm not concerned so much with that. And in terms of the yoga operations, they're going with virtual from what I've heard from the community. A lot of them don't want to come back and be exposed with other people. And you have to respect everyone's mindset. So we're not even open yet. So, again, it's kind of like what Imani said, maintenance. How can I maintain this way? Because with massage, I mean, I'm less than, you know, maybe running 25% or less than I normally would. I would say less than 25%.
Yeah, and Danielle Ramo at the Rochester Brainery, I know you're much less capacity. You've got your first outdoor class now. You've been online. But even with the limited opportunity to be quote-unquote open again, what would reclosing mean to you?
I mean, for me, our space supports our classes. So without being able to do any in-person events, it's essentially choosing a different business model for me. Because that was the model that I sold to support my classes, to be able to offer classes at a cost where, you know, the Brainery makes a certain amount, our teachers make a certain amount. Further than that, for me, I think about my staff. I think about the over the course of the year, we work with 100 plus different teachers. We purchase items from local artists to sell in our retail shop. Like, I just, all of that is on my mind, and I'm trying to put things in place right now where, you know, we can shift. We're doing local curbside pickup. I'm doing free local delivery on Friday. So I'm trying to do all of these things that would work if we needed to totally shut down again. But, you know, kind of like everyone else, you know, our space hasn't been open again yet. You know, we have a tentative event next week, but otherwise, we haven't really reopened yet either. So it's going to be difficult either way.
Well,
I
just want to say to listeners, I mean, with that fatigue, I get it. But don't forget small businesses. We at Connections hear from them all the time. And there's a lot of fear and pain and, frankly, a lot of creativity and a lot of hope that is hopefully not going to drain out. Because this community, I think, has stepped up to handle the pandemic. Don't forget the small businesses in our midst. They need us. And we can get through this, but it's going to be a lot of work. And I want to thank Daniel Ramo, Nicole Devier, and Imani O'Lear from The Brainery, Yoga Drishti, and True Yoga, and Yoga for a Good Hood. Thank you, all three of you, for being here, and good luck to you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Great conversation with them. Think about those small businesses. Rob Braden, engineer. Megan Mack, producer. I'm Evan Dawson. We'll talk to you tomorrow on Member Supported Public Radio.